We've been looking at each week in this month of November, abound. This theme of abound. And when we think about that word abound, we're reminded how Jesus made the fish and the loaves abound. He only had five and two, and then he fed over 5,000 people. He made those abound. When they were given to him, he made it abound. They needed wine at the wedding. Jesus made this water that filled these six stone jars, made it abound, and the wine at the wedding abounded. Jesus told Peter, as he had already fished all night and hadn't caught a thing, he said, "Put out into the deep water and let the nets down for a catch." And though Peter didn't really want to, he said, "Since you say so, I'll do it." And when he did it, Jesus made the fish abound. He took Peter's little bit of obedience just to go out a little bit and to do what Jesus said, and he made it abound. And so this week we want to look at abound. What are you devoted to? Abound. What are you devoted to? Well, I was looking at the meaning of the word devoted. I wanted us to start here. What the dictionary says is to be devoted. What is that? It's to be given over to the display, study, or discussion of something. To be given over to the display, the study, or the discussion of something. It also means to give all or a large part of one's time or resources to a person or an activity. So think about that. Think about that definition. To be devoted is to be given over to the display, study, or discussion of something. Well, you can be devoted to football. You could be devoted to Auburn or Alabama, especially after last night. But you could be devoted to football. What does it look like? I'm an Auburn fan. But what does it look like to be devoted to football? Well, look at this definition. It's to be given over to the display, study, or discussion of something. So if I'm devoted to Auburn football, well, then I'm given over to the display of it. So I try to show it off. I probably wear a lot of Auburn things. I probably have an Auburn keychain. If you go in my house, maybe there's Auburn posters. I probably have an Auburn license plate. I'm displaying it, right? I'm devoted to it. So I'm given over to the display, to the study of. If I'm devoted to Auburn football, I could probably tell you who the quarterback is, Nick Marshall. I could probably tell you his number. If I really study it, I could probably tell you his stats. I could probably tell you everybody else on the team. I could tell you what Auburn did last year. I could tell you what happened in this last game. Because I'm given over to the display, showing off all these Auburn things, and the study of, I'm really studying them, given over to the display and the study or the discussion of. And you know what? I'm probably talking Auburn football all the time. I'm probably listening to these shows. I'm probably calling in and talking. I'm probably telling everybody I talk to, I'm probably talking Auburn football, and here's what happened. And that's to be, you see it? That's devoted. That's what it means to be devoted. And so let me ask you the question this morning, what are you devoted to? You think about that in your life. What comes to mind? What are you devoted to? What are you given over to the display and the study and the discussion of? What is it? Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's your kids. You're devoted to your kids. Or maybe it's your church. Maybe it's your church. Maybe it's something else. Or maybe, just maybe, and you know, a good way to tell what you're really devoted to is to ask other people, what does it seem like I'm really devoted to? Just listen to what other people say. Well, you're all about so-and-so, golf. You love golf. You're just always talking about golf, and you study it, and you display it, and I don't know what it is for you. What are you devoted to? What would other people say about you if you asked them? What is she devoted to? What is he devoted to? Well, the ultimate the best, the right, the correct, the what would be best said of anybody if you took a certain person and you said, what is this person devoted to? If Jesus, if that was the first word that came out of people's mouths who know that person, above everything, this person's devoted to Jesus. They're given over. This person is given over to the display of their, I don't know, maybe they wear Jesus t-shirts, but they're displaying Jesus. Maybe they have a fish on their car. I don't know. But in their life, they're displaying Jesus, how they live. They're studying Jesus. They're always in the Word. They're given over to the discussion of Him. They're always talking about Him with people. What are you devoted to? Is it Jesus above everything? It's okay to be devoted to a lot of things, but the first and the foremost, the greatest thing we ought to be devoted to is the Lord, is Jesus. And so what are you devoted to? Is it the Lord above everything? Is that what people would say? Well, maybe you want that this morning. Maybe you want to make sure that sounds good to you. Maybe that sounds right, and that sounds correct, and that sounds like it's from the Lord. Maybe that's what you want this morning. Maybe there's some things that are kind of competing, and you say, I wonder if people would think I'm really devoted to this, or this cause, or this. But maybe you want to get that right this morning. And if you do, let's look at Psalm 135. How can we be devoted to the Lord? In Psalm 135, let's notice first of all these first two verses. It says this: praise the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Praise Him, you servants of the Lord, you who minister in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Well, what's the call there? Praise Him. So if you want to be devoted to the Lord, if you want that to be your first and your highest, your utmost devotion, you want it to be to the Lord, well, first of all, do that. Praise Him. Do those first two verses. Praise Him. And notice in verse 1 it says, praise Him, you servants of the Lord. Verse 2, you who minister in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. You know, today, a lot of people get it wrong and they're thinking, but you know who the ministers are in the church today? It's all of you all. Did you know that every member is a minister, a servant of the Lord? You know, it's the job of the overseer or elder, as the scripture calls it, the pastor. My job is to equip you to minister, to do the works of the ministry. That's Ephesians chapter 4. But you're the ministers. That's all of us. You who minister in the house of the Lord, serve the Lord, serve in His name, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise Him. That's what we need to be doing. Praise Him. So if you want to really be devoted to Him, just like Luke, he made that commitment this past Sunday night. He said, Jesus, I'm giving you everything. I'm just devoted to you. If you want to be like that, praise Him, first of all. And next, sing to Him. Praise Him. Sing to Him. Look at verse 3. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praise to His name, for that is pleasant. If you want to be devoted to Him, praise Him, sing to Him. See, it doesn't matter what your voice is like. God calls us all through His Word to sing to Him. The book of Psalms is the Hebrew song book. It's to be sung to the Lord. Sing to pray. He loves to hear you sing to Him. Out of your love for Him, to sing to the Lord. Just like Chris leads us in here, Chris and Lisa, praise Him. But not just here, it's everywhere. Praise Him. Sing to Him. This is in your own personal time where you get alone with the Lord and you just spend time with Him. Maybe you get up early in the morning and you get in His Word and you talk with Him. Go ahead and sing to Him some too. When you pray, maybe sing to the Lord. He loves that. Yeah, and do it anytime. We were for Christian's birthdays today. And we celebrated yesterday, and we were on our way with some of his friends, and we had to take two cars, and I was in my car with Christian and two of his friends in the back seat, and we went up to Birmingham to this place for his birthday, and these kids were singing to the Lord. We were talking about different songs they wanted to hear, and you know, I can plug up my phone to the speakers in the car, And Grace and his little friend wanted to hear, "We are the free." Let's hear "We are the free." It's a Matt Redman song. And so we plug that thing up and all these kids, they're singing to the Lord. "We are the free, the chosen generation." Oh, you know, and they're singing. They're singing to the Lord. You can do that. You can get music. You can get CDs. You can sing to the Lord. You can get a hymn book and you can have that with you. And anytime you have an opportunity, you can just open up. You can sing to the Lord. Sing in your car. Sing to Him. So if you want to be devoted to the Lord, praise Him. Sing to Him. Now, why? Why should we do these things? Well, look at some of these next verses. Well, first of all, because He has chosen you. He has chosen you. Look at verse 4. "For the Lord has chosen Jacob to be His own, Israel to be His treasured possession." Well, that was His people then. It seems like we're always talking about in our guy study over at Panera Bread. It seems like we're always talking about how God had His chosen. I guess it's because we're in the book of Romans or something. But how God had His chosen people. But yet, that's not the true Israel. That's what it says in the Bible. The true Israel is those who believe. Those who believe in the Messiah. Who trust in the Messiah. Those who have faith in Christ. That's the true people of God. And so that's you today. If you believe, if you're a believer, if you've repented of your sins and you've put your faith in Jesus, you're His chosen person. And so why should we praise Him and sing to Him? Because He has chosen you. And you say, "He didn't choose me, I chose Him." No, read, well, you have free will, but only God can. If God were small enough to be understood, He wouldn't be big enough to be worshipped. And God tells us in Isaiah, as far as the heavens are above the earth, as high as the heavens are, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, as high as the heavens are above the earth, God says, so are My ways higher than your ways and My thoughts than your thoughts. So I can't comprehend this, but we do have free will. But and you say, "Well, I chose Him." And no, read John chapter 15. He said, Jesus said, "You did not choose Me. I chose you to go and bear fruit." He's chosen you. You are His person. And so if you want to be devoted to the Lord, praise Him. Sing to Him. Why? He's chosen you, for one. Next, He is great and awesome. That's another reason why to praise Him and sing to Him. He is great and awesome. Look at verses 5 through 11. Let's look how great and awesome He is. Look at this. Verse 5. "I know that the Lord is great, that our Lord is greater than all gods. The Lord does whatever pleases Him." And you think of every other God that you can think of. You think of Allah, and you think of His prophet Muhammad. You think of Buddha. You think of you name it. Any you think of New Age gods or anything that anybody wants to call a god. And you think of the Mormon God. You think of what Joseph Smith claimed was revealed to him by the angel Moroni. And a completely different God than our God. You know, Mormonism says as God, as we are, God once was, and as God is, we can become. You'd have to look into it, but totally different God, totally different Jesus. Look at what Jehovah's Witnesses believe. Totally different God, different Jesus. You name it. And so He says, "I know that the Lord is great," verse 5, "that our Lord is greater than all gods." He is God. He's the only God. He's the only true God. "The Lord does whatever pleases Him." Everything, every other god is a fabrication of the evil one, of Satan. "The Lord does whatever pleases Him in the heavens and on the earth, in the seas and all their depths. He makes clouds rise from the ends of the earth. He sends lightning with the rain. He brings out the wind from His storehouses. He struck down the firstborn of Egypt, the firstborn of men and animals. He sent His signs and wonders into your midst, O Egypt, against Pharaoh and all his servants. He struck down many nations and killed mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, and all the kings of Canaan. And He gave their land as an inheritance to His people, Israel." He is great and awesome. you want to be devoted to the Lord, praise Him, sing to Him. Why? He has chosen you. He is great and awesome. Next, He takes care of His people. You see that in verses 12 through 14. And He gave their land as an inheritance to His people Israel. Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your renown, O Lord, through all generations. For the Lord will vindicate His people and have compassion on His servants. He takes care of His people. And if you're His person, He takes care of you. He's the good shepherd. And I understand you guys just had a Bible study lesson on that. That was in my message. I didn't realize that. He's the good shepherd. He constantly protects you and guides you and provides for you. He takes care of you. And next, those who make and trust in idols will be like them. Why should we praise Him and sing to Him? He has chosen you. He is great and awesome. He takes care of His people. Those who make and trust in idols will be like them. We see this in verses 15 through 18. The idols of the nations are silver and gold made by hands of men. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but they cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, nor is there breath in their mouths. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. Well, what is an idol here? What is this? Well, there again, let's look at the dictionary definition. An idol is an image or representation of a god used as an object of worship. Also, listen to this. A person or thing that is greatly admired, loved, or revered. Think about that. What in your life could possibly be an idol if you're not careful? What in your life could the Lord possibly be jealous of because you love it so much? It might be a child. It might be a spouse. It might be I don't know what it is. It might be football. I don't know what it is for you, but an idol, it can be, it's a person or thing that is greatly admired and loved or revered. What in your life could possibly be an idol? Because we learn here from verses 15 through 18 that those who make and trust in idols will be like them. If you've made any kind of idols, if you've given too much love and attention and devotion to something in your life, those who make and trust in them will be like them. So watch out. What are yours? I got to look at myself. I got to look at my own. But mine could be the church or ministry. Who knows? That's not Jesus. That's different. It can look like the right thing. I don't know what it is for you. What are yours? What are you devoted to? What are you T-O-O. What are you too devoted to? Maybe that's the good question this morning. What are you too devoted to? Well, repent. Repent. That's the word. That means have a deep change of mind. That means change your thinking. That means God's identified it for you in your life. He's shown it to you right now. And you can be stubborn and hard-hearted and say, well, I'm going to walk out of here loving that thing just as much as always. And the Lord is jealous and He takes second place or whatever. But what did Jesus say? If you're not willing to, Peggy read it, read that passage again. If you're not willing to give up everything, you cannot be my disciple. And He says, so think about the cost. Are you sure you want to do this? Maybe you need to walk on out of here. You sure? You want to do this? Consider the cost. It's everything to follow me. So let's examine those idols. What are your idols? What are you too devoted to? What am I too devoted to? Well, repent. Have a deep change of mind about it. Change your thinking. Turn to Him. Say, God, I'm sorry. You've laid your finger on it, and I'm sorry. I agree with you. I'm sorry. I put it on the altar right now. I give it to you. Right now. And I trust you with it. Whatever you want to do with it. I put you first, Lord. I love you more than anything else. More than these other idols I have. I love you more than anything. And therefore, they won't be idols anymore, if I get that straight. I love you more than anything. They're no longer idols that he's jealous of because you put him first. Well, what is it for you? And finally, once you get that straight, once you repent, so what do? Fear him and praise him. Fear him and praise him. That means have a holy awe for the Lord, a holy respect, kind of a get down on your knees saying, God, I give you that idol. I turn everything over to you. I give everything to you. I surrender everything to you. I say, I just want to follow you down on my face before you. I have an awesome reverence for you. You are God. I fear you. Fear him and praise him. It's back to praise again, isn't it? Back at the beginning, we said praise. Praise him. And we see that in verses 19 to 21. O house of Israel, praise the Lord. O house of Aaron, praise the Lord. O house of Levi, praise the Lord. You who fear him, praise the Lord. Praise be to the Lord from Zion, to him who dwells in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. That's the call for you. I mean, you could stick your name in there. Oh, Derek, praise the Lord. Oh, you put your name in there. So, if you want to be devoted to the Lord this morning, if you want him first and foremost, and you want to get rid of those idols, you don't want any idols, if you want to do that, you want the Lord first and foremost, and that is your main devotion, then praise him. Sing to him. Why? He has chosen you. He is great and awesome. He takes care of his people. Those who make and trust in idols will be like them. And so, fear him and praise him. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. And Lord, thank you that you are jealous of us, that you love us so much, that you would enter time and space, and that you would come here to rescue us from our sins. Lord, that you would come, and though we were your enemies, Lord, you would come and you took the sins of every person here. All those idols, you took them upon yourself. Every way we've failed you, every way we've sinned against you, you took it upon yourself. And you went to the cross. And we were supposed to get that death penalty. Death and hell, the wages of sin is death. But you stood in our place, Jesus. You took our punishment. And you were raised from the dead. And we thank you so much, Lord. Lord, help every person here to repent, Lord, to come to you, to receive that free gift of eternal life. As they trust you as their Lord, as their Savior. Help them to call to you saying, save me, Jesus. I need you. I am a sinner. I believe you paid for my sins on the cross. I believe you're raised from the dead. And I ask that you'd save me. And Lord, I want to give you my life. I want to give you everything. I want you to be first. I want to follow you. Help me. Lord, there are others here today who maybe you've pinpointed something in their life. It's a potential idol, or maybe they've even admitted, I have an idol, or I have some idols. Lord, maybe right now you've moved in their heart and they want to say, God, I give this to you. Lord, I give you everything. I put it all in your hands, and I say, it's all yours, Lord, not mine. I trust you with it all. And Lord, we thank you that, Lord, the truth is, when we trust you with everything, Lord, you make it abound. Help us to put everything into your care, into your hands, our very lives, everything. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you've made a decision this morning and you've given your heart to the Lord, just like Luke did, and maybe for the first time, you just prayed with me just then, and you just called out and you just asked the Lord to save you from your sins and come into your life. And He's just given you that gift of eternal life. If you prayed that sincerely and you called out to Him, He did all the work necessary. And He's done that for you. If you sincerely called out to Him, make that known. Make that known. Everybody Jesus ever called, He said, follow me. It was publicly. He didn't say, follow me, and after everybody leaves, you know, you come creeping along behind me when nobody's looking. And he didn't say that. He said, follow me. So if that's you this morning, when Chris leads us in a song, step out of your seat and come and share that you've given your heart to the Lord. You're following Him now. Maybe you're getting it straight, this discipleship. Maybe you're laying things down today and you're saying, these have been idols. I just want to totally follow you, Jesus. I want you first. And you come and share that. Maybe you need to pray about some of these things. You can pray at the altar as Chris leads us. Or you can pray at your seat. You can get at your knees at your seat. Whatever you want to do. But And maybe it's to join this church. Maybe God's telling you that. Do whatever He tells you, as Chris